I know it's kind of an oldie, yeah, but most of you know it. Yeah, Lost Lonely Boys. Good morning. Come on, a ton of you here today. Wow, I guess the new year has hit us. About a month ago, I showed a video of a gal at the convalescent home. Remember, maybe a month and a half ago, where she kind of preached Jesus to us and wanted to get to us. Well, she went to heaven. Her name's Wilma. This last week, this is part of the convalescent ministry, you understand? Some of them are at the end of life, and so I just kind of wanted to celebrate her momentarily here today and just honor her life. And she was a gal who loved Jesus. She made sure that we knew it, right? Just wanted to share that with you. Today's theme is Rejoice, Baby, Rejoice. Now, I don't think Jesus said it just like that, but for us, we're going to look at that. And we're going to take a peek inside that. And you're going to see today what's asked of us is really, really difficult. It's a little bit overwhelming. It's almost too much. But when you understand, Carrington, who Jesus can be in your life, you can handle it, I think. All right? A man went to see his doctor. Men don't like to go to the doctor, right? We just don't. I don't know why. I don't know what it is, but he went to see his doctor in a state of high anxiety. He was completely stressed out. He said, you have to help me. I'm dying. I think I'm dying. A little melodramatic, but he said, everywhere I touch, it hurts. I touch my head and it hurts. I touch my leg and it hurts. I touch my stomach and it hurts. I touch my chest and it hurts. You have to help me, doc. Everything hurts. The doctor gave him a complete examination and said, Mr. Smith, he said to him, I have good news and I have bad news for you. The good news is you're not dying. The bad news is you have a broken finger. And the illustrator goes on. He says, sometimes life is like that. And we all kind of can connect with that. The good news is, the illustrator tells us, is there's relief or paradise ahead for Jesus followers, promised clearly from the God of the universe. The bad news is we have to go through the pain to get there. Today we're going to, at least in part, talk about pain and what we're going to do with it, how we're going to deal with it relationally when it happens to us. And really, really good stuff. I'm a little bit too excited, so I'm trying to settle myself right down a little bit here right now because I know what's coming. And it's not that it's that deep or it's that technical. It's just hard. It's hard what we're going to be asked of today as a command. So let's bow our heads, pray, ask. Isn't that a great setup for just an encouraging service? Does that just make you look forward to what's coming? Yeah, right. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, that we can count on your love, that we know you're there, that you're good to us, that you carry us when we hurt, that no matter what we face, if we trust in you, we can live through it. And I pray today would encourage us and give us eyes to see what part of the future we can, and to accept it ahead of time, to predetermine in our life. When stuff happens because of our love for you, we're going to accept it. We're not going to kick against it. We're not going to fight against it. We want to follow you, Jesus, in every way that we can. Help us understand. Jesus, we welcome you into this room. We want you to be our teacher, our guide. We want to be lovers of your life in every way that we can. We want to understand, so help us, I pray, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, we're in a series, if you happen to be new with us, that's built around Matthew 28:19, where we're told to go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he says something interesting. He says, and teach them all that I have commanded you. Pretty clear encouragement to each of us, to the disciples and to us through them. So in this series, we're going to define the commands of Jesus slowly but surely, kind of one at a time. The things he wants us to know and do, and we're calling it kind of Jesus 101. If you want to understand him, you want to know him, you want to honor him, you want to love him, you want to bring glory to him, as the Bible clearly points us to do. And so we're going to lay that out. So command number one, we're not going to do this every week, but every once in a while, just so I remember him, because I'm a simple guy, was repent, remember? And this is Jesus inviting us into to rethink things, to change our loyalty if it's in a wrong place, to begin needing him in our life, if we've learned to live a life without needing him and pushing him aside and just needing ourselves. You want to rethink that. Boy, it's interesting being out here with you. I saw a couple of donuts that I wanted a bite of, Alan. But to include Jesus into your thinking, to never just let it be you, but to include him, to welcome him in, and to change direction when we need, Dave. When the Bible confronts us, when a pastor comes up right next to us and says, dude, you need some help. No, just kidding. Yeah, I shouldn't be out here. I'm going to get in trouble. All right, number two, command two, is to follow me. We covered it last week. Follow me. To begin following Jesus in your life, maybe you've never done that before, and you may have to figure it out. Don't read ahead. Look at you people. You're all reading ahead. What's it matter? But to learn how to follow, to begin to build a desire inside that I want to be a Jesus follower. To sort of, in a beginning way, talk yourself into that. You know, gymnasiums are filled with people. It's January. But about the middle of February, the crowd just goes down. I don't know why. But learn to begin to follow him. Begin living out his principles. Learn what you can and don't worry about what you don't know. Be concerned with what you do know. And follow those. They're beautiful things. Start listening to him. Or maybe he didn't have your ear before. This is what following is. You give Jesus your attention. Whether it's a daily time for 10 minutes or 5 minutes or 20 minutes in the Bible, or listen to a radio show that talks about it that you do regularly in your life, start listening to him and begin to move your life towards him in love, not in legalism. So many people just want to hear and then do because the doing makes them feel significant. It makes them feel like they're accomplishing something. Learn to love Jesus. It's a different way to live than just loving the scripture, than just loving the rules. Yeah, we need to know him. We need to embrace him. That's how we get closer to him in large part. But we all understand love. We know what it is to be loved, and we ought to love Jesus. You know, I was thinking about this week. This may not make sense to you, and whenever I say that before I talk, I should just shut up, but I don't. But you know, marriages, all of them, at different times are challenged. They just are. Raising kids, money problems, personality quirks, stuff that happens. And really, there's a certain sense where this is a marriage seminar for 40 weeks. Really. If you individually, in the midst of your marriage, and I'm not kidding, I know you think I'm nuts, but we'll just begin to listen to the commands of Jesus and put them into your life. It'll be amazing. What a better husband, what a better wife you become if you have the privilege of being married. Try it. The person you live with will really like it. All right, enough of that stuff. How else could somebody introduce a series called the Marriage Series and he's just teaching about Jesus? All right. A choice Jesus wants you to make today, and like I mentioned earlier, it's a hard one. It's an unnatural choice that you're going to be asked to do, to obey, command, if you will. A choice that demands thinking differently. You can't just continue thinking the way you've been thinking and pull off of what Jesus is going to ask of us today. It won't happen. And a choice that many people that would call themselves Christians or followers of Jesus pass on for one reason or another. So number one, Jesus tells us what's coming in your life and in mine. And it's NP, it's not pretty. Not pretty. There's got to be a little gym in there. Now, for those of us who follow Jesus, and most of you in the room, I know you want to, and it's wonderful. I love being in a family like this. I'm so appreciative. But what he does here is he informs us of what's going to happen in our life. For real. He gives us a peek over the fence, if you will. And he tells it to us straight. Check it out. Matthew 5:10. He says, blessed. And the idea of blessed here is a position you want to be in. It's living life God's way. There's peace in your life. There's a sense in where you're listening to the God of the universe, that you're trying to apply the principles you know, that you're as all in as you can be. And this condition is called blessed. He says, blessed, you're following God's way, are those who are persecuted. Now, this doesn't make sense on just a merely human level. The last thing we want in our life is persecution and to welcome it. or to do anything to bring it on, right? Anybody here want some extra persecution this week? You want it? No. The basic meaning of persecution is you're being chased. You're being pursued. You're being driven away. Something negative is taking place on a human level. It's the idea of pestering somebody or to oppress or to hound someone. He says, blessed, Jesus does in the Sermon on the Mount, are those who are persecuted. He says, because of righteousness. If you're persecuted because you're a criminal, bring the persecution on. Go to jail, baby. The law of the land. He said, but because of righteousness, one who's committed to Jesus, living life his way, and the big idea here is there's no fear or shame in following Jesus, even if it brings negative into our life, that we shouldn't fear that we shouldn't run from it. I'm so excited, my mouth is dry. I probably shouldn't tell you that, huh? I'm not afraid of your persecution. You see, my point here is this demands courage to live this way. This way, if you will, of righteousness. Righteousness is simply living a right kind of life. It's living life God's way to the best of your ability. It's not fancy, deep stuff. It's not some godly theological term. It's not perfect. It's just there's a desire for right living. And when we're persecuted because of that, is what he's talking about. And he says, sort of the payoff here is for theirs, that person, that individual that is persecuted because of righteousness, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this defines being blessed, that you're living kingdom principles, that you're connected to the king of the kingdom. This is a promise to us. Only citizens of the kingdom are able to do this and do this consistently. Others will just fall away and they won't want to face the heat that's coming their way. He goes on in verse 11, same thing. He said, blessed. Now, this is the end of the Beatitudes, which is a sort of famous passage in the Sermon on the Mount to start it off. But here, this idea is you're doubly blessed. There's something extraordinary here rather than just blessed. Not that that's not wonderful in and of itself. But he says, blessed, again, referring to the person that's persecuted, are you when people insult you? You see, it just makes no sense. But it does to Jesus. Blessed are you when people insult you. And the idea here is attack you verbally. Now, how much do you like that? Not at all. What is your response today if somebody attacks you verbally because of your love for Jesus or your interest in going to church? For many of us, we might just attack right back. Not go get in a fight, but not put up with it. Not tolerated. Abusive words is what he's talking about. Or the idea of mocking you or me. Out loud, verbally. Maybe even in a vicious way, which happens around the world. Part of following Jesus is being aware that this is coming. If you're going to follow Jesus and follow him closely, you're going to be mocked. You're going to be verbally abused. That's what he's saying. So he says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and this has the idea of physical assault, that there's some physicality, that you're getting pushed in some way, or worse, intimidating you, chasing you down. And not just that, those two, but and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. This would be gossip. This would be trying to destroy you verbally, not in front of your face, but behind the scenes. Make up stories and accusations about you that aren't true, that they would be brought forth behind our backs, trying to destroy your reputation so that you don't matter anymore to anybody else. This is enormous stuff if you try to drink it in what Jesus is laying out here. But then he says, he drops, because of me, not because of you and your bad actions, because your inappropriate behavior, but because you're connected to me, because you stand for me, because you speak of me, because you try to share with others how important Jesus might be to you. This is what following Jesus produces. And I dare say, just to start out today for fun, if you will, is a lot of people don't follow him closely because they don't want this stuff. They don't want any part of it. They want a nice, easy, appropriate, non-confronted life. And this is sometimes what keeps us quiet about the one we really honestly love. Paul faced this very thing in his life over and over again. He faced huge challenges, just enormous. On 2 Corinthians 4:8, it's not your notes, but I think Joe's going to throw it up there. The Bible says this, we are hard-pressed. Paul's talking about himself and the men with him. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Paul was constantly the comeback kid. From the snake that bit his hand, shook it off, and the villagers just sat there waiting for him to die, and he didn't die. It was a God thing, no doubt about it. Don't try that at home, by the way. Paul knew about suffering. Paul didn't quit. Paul's life was altered and changed on the road to Damascus. Jesus visited him and invaded his life. A past persecutor of the church, maybe one of the smartest theologians in the Jewish culture, the teacher of teachers, he was called. A true Pharisee and a hard guy and a smart guy becomes a follower of Jesus. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. You see, Paul understood who he belonged to. Paul understood what was most important. He knew who was with him. He knew. He had experienced Jesus in his life. So Jesus tells us what's coming, the future. And it really, practically speaking, it's not very pretty. But it's the truth, not only for the disciples, but for you and me. This is coming if you're going to follow Jesus and follow him closely. This is coming. Number two, Jesus says this, rejoice and be happy. This is to be our response to persecution, to insults to our face. I thought about picking a couple people and walking out in the audience and trying this today. And I just don't want to. It just sounds unpleasant. I could, though. I may be thinking of your name. That this is to be our response, even if we're physically assaulted because of him. Or when people try to destroy our reputation behind the scenes. What do you do when you're challenged generally, even in a conversation? Most of us get defensive. And whatever level of defensiveness, you know, because you think you have something to protect. Jesus can take your defensiveness away, especially in this arena. Expect it. This is coming if you let it be known that you're a Jesus guy or gal. Matthew 5:12, there it is. He says, rejoice and be glad after what he just laid out. Rejoice, baby, rejoice. It's kind of what it says there. And the clear message from Jesus to us is that as we follow Jesus, as we live as salt and light, we will be attacked. We will be resented. We will be rejected, and we will be verbally slammed. And I think in our culture, our South Bay culture that all of us kind of understand, which is pretty cool, those of us that grew up, we know we're cool, right? Just natural. And so arrogant, it's sick, but it's true. See, you know it. So we don't want this stuff. We really don't. I want people to respect me, not because of my job, but just because I'm a guy. I want people to like me. And if I know this kind of crap is going to be aimed at me, if I really live out there for Jesus, not being rude or disrespectful ever, but I let it be known, that's a battle. It's a battle for all of us. And when this happens, that we get slammed, attacked, resented, rejected, we're to rejoice. We're to jump up and down. See those guys back there in the background? Leaping for joy, literally. We're to be upbeat and positive. We're to celebrate it privately, not in their face. Come on, do it again. Do it again. I like it. I like it. You know. But in your heart of hearts, you understand. We're to be cheerful and pleased. And I don't know if we all buy off on that. That's what Jesus says here. I want you, Jim, to rejoice when you're persecuted. That's hard. That's difficult. It's crazy talk, right? I mean, come on, man. Jesus, do you really, really mean this? Huh? Are you easily offended in life? Jesus says it's coming. He really did say it. This is a different way of living. This is having a different opinion about life. If you expect it and anticipate it going in, it can build your courage level and your ability to communicate to others that, you know, Jesus might be something that you want to think about. Might be something you want to think about. It's powerful when you say that to somebody. There's a guy I work out with at the gym. And paramedics came because he had some challenges. Good guy. I asked him one day. I said, hey, I've known him for 8 months. He knows I'm a pastor. Not because I told him, but my wife did one day when I wasn't there, which I really appreciated. And I don't go to the gym with a Jesus shirt on. I'm just Jim, a Jesus follower there. I've been there for 8.5 months now. And I don't say much to anybody. I'm just there to work out with them early in the morning. And I'm not in a verbal place at 5:30 in the morning anyway. I'm a little ticked at my wife that she woke me up and dragged me there. But we're there. So this guy told me, we've talked about the whole football season and guy stuff, and he likes me and I like him. Fist bumps all the time, good ones. He's really in shape. And I looked at him, I said, hey. I said, can I ask you a question? He goes, sure. I go, what kind of spiritual life do you have? And he looks at me and he goes, none. I say, got it. He goes, look, Jim, I'm straightforward and I tell the truth. Because he was worried that I would be like upset that he was saying that to me. Because he wants to be my friend like I want to be his. And I said, that's cool. I said, if you want, I said, this is kind of my work and what I know. And if you want to start hanging out once or twice a month and have coffee, I said, I can help you a little bit there while you do whatever else you need to do. He says, cool, I'll give you my number. So he gave me his number a week and a half ago. I haven't called him. You know, because you got to be cool. You that are, we're something. You can't be weird. Dude, call him the next day. Let's get together today. It's like if you go out on a date if you're single. You don't call the next day. Weirdo. My daughters taught me that as they dated over the years. But what Jesus is saying when he says rejoice and be happy, what he's saying is this is a different way of life. And he's even in the midst of it saying, I know this is hard. This is crazy. But you can do this. By the way, this is a command I have for you if you want to follow my commands. Not that you're bad if you don't. But if you want to live my way, if you want to follow me as completely as you can, this is part of the package. Because this different way of living is in large part what makes us stand out. Because we're not demanding. We're not overly preachy. Yeah, we've got a message that we've embraced, and that message matters to us. And yeah, we probably want other people to believe what we believe. No problem with that. But I'm going to be proactive with the Jesus conversation. Or you can just shoo me out of your life. It's okay. I won't be mad. It's happened many times before, believe me. We have some neighbors. My wife didn't really want me to tell you this, but I'm not telling you who. Now, she didn't say I shouldn't. She said, be careful. And you know, I'm always careful. Thank you, David. I heard your first laugh there. You've been around too long. She talked to him the other day, and they said they were going to a big church here in the area. See, this is where I'm being careful. And she said, my husband just doesn't want to go anymore. And he goes, really? She says, yeah. You know, they start singing, and they have to stand up for like a half hour. And she goes, he just can't stand it. I know everybody has a different opinion of that. But if you've got a bad knee, 30 minutes standing up in one place is just not cool. I know some of you want to worship more aggressively, and some of you wander to the back. I'm not telling people what to do ever. But I don't want a guy leaving my church because he stands for 30 minutes to sing worship. I don't want that. And she said, you know, the guy gets up and talks. It doesn't really make sense. I'm not telling you what church it is. Not telling you. I hope it wasn't here. And so Sandy goes, and we know these people. They're younger than us. Welcome to the most of the world. But I'm being careful here. I said, Sandy, you're not going to get them to come, are you? Because she knows when somebody close in our neighborhood comes, if they don't connect up with Jesus and connect up with people, they now start avoiding us. And I can take it. I mean, I've been avoided in my life. I've seen people walk the other way at the grocery store. My point is here is if you're going to sign up for this different kind of life, understand, you're going to stand out for him more so. It doesn't make you a Christian, spiritual, Jesus-following Navy SEAL. That's not what this is about. We're not trying to make you some covert guy that brings down the glasses at night, okay? But we do want to stand for him, and we want to be brave. A gentleman, it's a French name, so I could have Deb come up and help me, but it's Jason Lemierre, two words, L-E and then M-I-E-R-E. International Business Times, December 30th, 2016, wrote this. Nearly 90,000 Christians were killed for their faith in 2016 around the world, equivalent to one every 6 minutes, according to a new study by the Italy-based Center for Studies on New Religions. The annual study, which is set for release next month, also indicated that between 500 and 600 million Christians were prevented from freely practicing their faith. The number has actually declined from 105,000 who died in 2015. In terms of their faith. But it still makes Christians the most persecuted religious group in the world. Now, we aren't really here in America. We aren't, not yet anyway, and I don't think it's going to happen soon. But Jesus is trying to prepare us for something, I think, internally in these kind of passages and this kind of command. To be a person who really considers when they're being persecuted in minor or medium ways, because it's not going to be major here generally, that we rejoice and we're glad. And Jesus gives two reasons now why rejoicing and being glad is important. The first is, number one, Jesus explains the payoff. Right here. When we face persecution because of him, remember, because of him, not your own actions, he makes a promise to us. In verse 12, he says, because, why should we rejoice and be glad? Because great, not average, not medium, not normal, but great is your reward in heaven. So something, there's a cause and effect here when we rejoice over things that are really humanly painful and uncomfortable. James tells us our life is like a vapor. It just is. Then it vanishes. So Mary Tyler Moore was 80. And she's no longer alive. I'm 63. Last week. So I got 17 years left. if my lifespan is hers. That's it. Now, if I'm like my father-in-law, he's 87 and cranking, baby. And he's in this room because he only looks like he's like 68. Well, maybe 70. It's like a vapor and then it vanishes in James 4:14. And again, the Bible tells you the truth so you can grasp the life you ought to have and learn it. Heaven, on the other hand, is forever. It never ends. Never, ever, ever. It just doesn't. Whatever we do for Jesus, even the Bible says giving a cup of water in my name. I called this morning at about 8:45 and I said, hey, Bob, would you put a cup of water, because we don't longer have the caps, and because I don't know how much dancing I'm going to do when I come down the aisle, so if I have water in my notes, it might go bad on somebody. I said, could you put a cup of water up there? And he puts two. That man, Bob Kanaga in the back, will be rewarded for giving a cup of water. And he wanted more reward, obviously, so he gave me two. So Bob has a greed problem. Next week there'll be five. Oh, I love when I crack myself up. So, but the Bible says, I'm telling you, when you give a cup of water in my name, they will not lose their reward. Rewards are a big deal to God. Whatever we do for Jesus, including suffering, listening to him and being willing to take the suffering, whatever it might be, the persecution, the emotional pain that will come from making Jesus known in a respectful way to others, will reap eternal dividends. All of us hope that one day in retirement we have enough money to pay all the bills and the mortgages paid off. You know, a simple dream for all of us, that there's enough money coming in from different sources, and hopefully there's some investment that happens, minor, medium, or major, that feeds back into your life. We understand dividends, whether we have them or not. If we don't have them, we want them. We get it. Serving God produces rewards, and I think that is so cool. He gives it to us. We're not making this stuff up. This is Jesus motivating us, saying there's a payoff. If you listen to me and you accept what's coming and you're prepared for it and you're willing to step into the firing line, it's a beautiful thing when you do. This is him motivating us, letting us in on what's going to happen in reality if we choose him. If we follow him, if we fall in love with him in life, that there's a payoff that is beyond this life. This life's finances and blessings don't connect to the next. There's no U-Hauls to heaven. You don't take anything with you. Jesus gives us a second reason for us to rejoice and be glad. Number four there. Jesus gets or goes, whatever you like, if you're an English teacher, historic on us. It's what he does. He sucks us into the vortex of the Old Testament. He's giving us examples of what we're going to face by Old Testament examples. They might not be exactly the same or as hazardous as they were, but telling us that this has happened before. Jim, look, what I'm talking about has happened before. It's written history. He's trying to help us understand that persecution isn't personal. It isn't about you. It's about Jesus. And when I stand for him, when I'm proud of him, when I make decisions because of him, it's a big deal. It's about Jesus and a world that needs him, that doesn't want to know him because they're afraid he, if I connect with him, as most of us in this room have, is going to take my freedom away to do whatever I want. That's the real issue. Am I willing to live the way Jesus wants me to, or am I going to live and do exactly what I want to do? That's the battle of life for most people's souls. And most of us have made a choice. We still battle with it. So another reason to rejoice and be glad, look at verse 12, last part. He says, for in the same way, just as they did before, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When we suffer for Jesus, when we suffer for the message of truth, Jesus is telling us we're in great company. Prophets that have been killed because they proclaim God's word. We're viewed just like them. Have you ever looked in the mirror and thought, you'd be a good Moses? or pick a minor prophet, whatever you want, I don't care. To be persecuted for righteousness, to be persecuted for representing Jesus, to be persecuted for being a faithful man or woman, or just trying to talk about Jesus. And somebody says, shut up, not maybe out loud directly to you, but changes the subject immediately. You ought to smile on the inside because you're trying. You're trying. What happens at that moment when you're trying, whatever it is, your personality, your place in life, I just want this to be motivating to you and inspiring, I hope. But what happens at that moment is you join Jesus in his sacrificing. That's what he did. He gave himself. You're giving yourself at that moment of time to that person or people. You're willing to suffer as Jesus suffered, not physically probably, but you're stepping into the firing line. And it's a big deal. You're willing to push forward the message with your personhood. And somebody might look down on you because of that. It's a beautiful thing. You're willing to pay a price for who Jesus is. It's a different way of looking at life. And then to have negative come back and to rejoice over it and be glad. Look what I stirred up, a hornet's nest. How cool. And then run. I'm just kidding. So understanding, rejoicing, and be glad. I want to try to make this understandable as best I can here. Number one, first of all, rejoice and be glad means, just to define the words just for us today. Rejoice defined is to be positive. You don't rejoice in a negative mode. There's a positivity that's attached to it. To rejoice is to celebrate, to cheer. Hip, hip, hooray. Look what I did. When you win the Stanley Cup, if it's your team, everybody goes nuts. We have the Super Bowl next Sunday. I don't know who you want. I don't really care. I just want a good game. I want to come down the last 2 minutes. I don't want it to be 42-7 at halftime. Really looking forward to Lady Gaga, too. Just thought I'd throw that in. Yeah. That wasn't in my notes, by the way. Rejoice to find, to cheer, to express joy. We kind of already know what rejoice is, but Jesus really tells us this. The idea to be glad to find is to be delighted, to be cheerful, to accept things well, to be grateful, to be pleased by what has happened. That's what it is to be glad, to be happy. The literal meaning, as I mentioned earlier, is to skip and jump for joy. Now, you may not do it physically, but the inside of you are, because the only way you could ever do that is because you're listening to Jesus and you understand, oh, this is the moment. Jesus is showing up here and it's negative. Sometimes it's really positive and we celebrate maybe differently. But there's a sense of accomplishment. When things might go bad, at least you tried. Don't ever quit trying to touch people's lives. To be happy with excitement. This is not just a suggestion. This is a command. You want to follow his commands? You want to teach other people his commands? This is an uncomfortable one, but it's important. What's being asked of us, number two, is to rejoice when most wouldn't. We're contrarians here if we listen to Jesus, even among the believing folks around. I'm just telling you, most people don't sign up for this stuff. This isn't a drawing card. This isn't going to cause more people to come to church next week. This isn't one of those messages, unless you're in and you love truth. Jesus is asking us to live differently, to respond differently, to understand wrong actions when they come your way and where they're coming from, to not blame the person. Sort of blame Jesus in a world that is lost. Don't get mad at them. Feel sorry for them as they're attacking you on some level. To have a right attitude when things are inappropriate happening to you, when someone maybe even is hurting you emotionally, you have a right attitude. And not one of those condescending, oh, I understand, you are so lost and I'm not. You know, none of that junk. Come on. Jesus' followers are being asked to have courage here, tremendous courage, huge courage. Number three, as we live this out, we refuse to hide and retreat. This is what happens to many people. We refuse to be silent about Jesus. We're not going to be secret agents of his any longer. And this is part of the package. This is part of what will stimulate you to this kind of action. We expect and anticipate persecution and rejection and being hurt and offended. If that's not happening, you got to ask the question why. You see, he is forewarning us here. In essence, preparing us, right? He's setting you up for apparent failure to other people, but it's not failure. You rejoice and you're glad over the failures that happen. Just don't stop taking a shot. He continues to give us strength in the midst of the battle. How does he disclose himself to him? As we take the risk, and I say to my relatively new friend that's my age, I say, look, as he's talking about a difficulty in his life, I ask him, I say, what kind of spiritual life do you have? I'm not going all Jesus on him. I mean, come on. And he says, none, and he's an honest, straight-up guy. I said, well, if you want, I can slowly, gently help you in that department with the problem that you have. You make yourself available. That's exactly why we need him. If you don't have his strength, you won't continue to do this stuff. We need to be close to him. Big question. Is there any persecution in your life right now? I mean, as you think right now in the last month, has there been any pushback on you spiritually from somebody in your family or in your neighborhood or at the workplace? Any pain from others that's come your way that you associate this message with right now in your brain? And if not, maybe you're hiding too much. Maybe you have retreated too much with this Jesus conversation that you can have, that you're prepared to have. You're empowered to have. You've been trained in this room the last 5 or 6 years how to begin to talk about Jesus. Scared. I understand the fear. I understand the rejection. Stop hiding. Stop retreating because of Jesus' words. Learn to rejoice when something turns against you. Number four, to rejoice like this, we need Jesus. We can't do this alone ever, 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 never. You won't. We can't rejoice on our own like this. It's got to be in him, the source of it, the reason of it. Without Jesus, what happens to us when somebody offends us? Well, we're offended and we end up angry. We end up embittered. We end up resentful when somebody says something about us. And that is personal. We make it personal. And we get defensive. And we end up, mildly at least, hating others for the hurt they cause, right? You willing to admit that? Just shift that, baby. Just shift it. Start rejoicing and being glad. Number five and last, we must see ourselves properly if we're going to ever live this out. You've got to have a right view of you. If we ever want to rejoice when persecuted, we must view ourselves in a right way. Who are we really? Who is it that we belong to? That ought to be defined in your mind, and you ought to be able to answer it in a moment's notice. When Jesus becomes a top priority in your life, and you know it. Now, one of the hard parts is, if Jesus is a top priority for you, and it's not for your husband or your wife, if you have the privilege of being married, that's hard. If it's not your children, that gets complicated. Oh, my. When Jesus becomes more important to you than anything, and you know when that's true, based on your time, your money, and your talents. If Jesus isn't important in those areas, Jesus isn't the most important thing in your life. When Jesus becomes the love of your life, the result is you begin looking through the right lens. And you begin to look at the world in a way that I want to love you and touch you, and I want you to get the Jesus I have. Really bad. Really bad. And you see yourself for who you really are, that you're loved forever, that you're special for real to God, the God of the universe, that you're cherished, that you are safe. Peace comes from being safe even if the worst thing happens today, that you're cared for. Knowing who you belong to and what that produces in your life makes all the difference in the world. Watch this. It's a great story. You're going to be touched by it.
For more than 20 years, Burma, my homeland, has been in a civil war. Most of the men are forced into either slave labor or the army. So, 17 years ago, my family and I fled Burma, along with 2 million other people, and came to Thailand. The Thai government allows us to live here, but we are not considered citizens. My name is Pi Chui. I'm 30 years old. My wife's name is Jane. And my son's name is Big. When I first became a Christian, my parents were very upset because they are Buddhists. They sent me a letter asking me to quit being a Christian. They felt I disrespect them and betrayed the family. This made me very sad. But I know that God is with me and looks over me. Because I know God, I'm happy. I'm at peace. Since we are not Thai citizens, it is sometimes difficult trying to find work. But God has a plan for us and has provided a job doing constructions on a new housing development. In the beginning, I didn't know much how to do the job. So I pray and I ask God to give me the ability. My co-workers all know that I'm a Christian. Some of them make fun of me, mock me, calling me Jesus because I'm not Buddhist anymore. It doesn't matter what they call me, I just do my job, I'm honest, and work as hard as I can. And I know the boss will see the quality of my work. I see my job as a chance to serve God, not myself. Because we are not citizens, we are unable to stay in the same place for very long. Today, we are told we had to move out of our home. We have been given 24 hours to pack up all our things and then tear down our shelters. This happens often. We are forced to move so a new housing development can be built. We have gotten used to moving, but it is still very hard. We just accept it. It's the only way to survive. I like in the Bible where it says to trust and to obey God, and He will take care of and protect you, and He will give you new life. I like that. And whatever happens, I don't worry, because I know that God is with us and we are with Him. Hopefully one day we will return home. But whether we are in Thailand or Burma, we know we are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of God's kingdom.
pray. Lord, thank you that we can talk about truth in this room. And I just pray that as we try to embrace what you asked of us today, that you would just assist us this week to give us courage and to give us the ability to rejoice and to be brave, not ridiculously, but just to step out in whatever way we can with the Jesus conversation to somebody fresh and new. And as we maybe take blows or make impact, that you would feed into our lives through that, that you'd help us rejoice and be glad. Thank you for the message of truth in our life. Thank you for Jesus and what he does. We love you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, have a wonderful day. To lay the troubles down.